Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Hard of Hearing. Turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. And look at this. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Can't even make a guttural sound of any kind. Those who make them, and look at the observation about people who make these idols and believe in these things and pray to these, those who make them are like them. Now, what did he just say? It's as good as being dead. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Now, you think sometimes, what is he talking about? Why does he bring this stuff up? Nobody worships any idols. There are billions of people on this planet who every day of their life have little statues, little things in their home, little sanctuary, little altars, and they burn candles. And it's these images. And they're manufactured, they're carved, they may be ornate, they may be beautiful, but they have ears and they can't hear. They have eyes they can't see, they have mouths they can't talk, they have hands they can't do anything with them, they have feet they can't walk, they can't even make a noise. And he goes on again to say, those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. In other words, this is not some little statue. This is a living, live, vibrant, powerful God who made heaven and earth. Even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Go to Zechariah 7, and I understand this may take a second. I probably couldn't find it either, so just take a second and turn to the front of your Bible if you got a Bible and find Zechariah under the Z's. In your table of contents, you'll find a lot faster that way. And I'm interested in you seeing it, not just stopping and being embarrassed that you couldn't find it. Zechariah chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 9. For the sake of time, we'll just jump right in. Zechariah 7, verse 9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, in other words, like a rock, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. Now that's not where you want to be. This is being hard of hearing. You say, well, I'm not deaf. It's not that I can't hear at all, but you get calloused. You get hardened. Now, here's where I'm going today and what the danger, one of the things I'm going at. It is a very dangerous thing for you to sit here and listen to me, for you to get in your car and listen to your radio hour after hour after hour. You say, but I want to fill my mind, I want to fill my life with the Word of God and with preaching, and I want to saturate myself. You can become hard of hearing unless you are listening to all of that and doing something with it. Because what will happen to you is you can get completely desensitized and you don't even hear it anymore. Because if you're not doing something with it, then you're just listening to listen. And so your ears become kind of calloused. It's Charlie Brown's teacher. Wonk, 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 wonk. Just more scripture, more verses. You go, ah, good. I'm listening to something good. But what are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? Am I applying it? You say, well, I'm listening and I don't know how to apply it. Our mission statement as a church is disciples making disciples. All you got to do is say, I need to be discipled. And we are trying to get to the place where anybody who says, help me, will help you so that you can make sense of it. It's been a long time. You know, if you've ever labored with your hands, and there are men in this church that you could take their hands, because they labor every day, shovels, whatever it is, and take a pin, and you could literally stick a pin in big old calluses on the palm of their hands or on their fingers, and they'd tell you, I can't even feel it anymore. Because they've worked it so much, it just turns into a callus, and there is no feeling there. And the danger is that you can't feel it anymore. You can't hear it anymore. Now, am I saying you shouldn't saturate yourself with Scripture? I'm not saying that's a bad thing, and I don't think too many people are doing that anyway. But if you hear something, the thing that changed for me, and the old man that discipled me for so long said to me these little things along the way. He said, Richard, my life changed when I read the Scriptures, or when he would listen to the Scriptures, with the intent of doing what it said. If the Bible says, flee youthful lusts, and you don't run, nothing is going to change in your life. You read it and go, well, yeah, I know where that verse. And I grew up around people, and I'm not dissing anybody who memorizes Scripture, but I grew up around some people, man, you call a verse, bam. They're not even opening the book. They can quote the verse. And some of them were mean as the devil. I'm talking about angry religious people. Like, I was like, I don't get it. They know the Scriptures, but they're upset. They're angry. They're not mad at hell. They're just mad as hell. Because they were going through the religious motions, but it wasn't real. They had become callous to what they had even memorized. It didn't work. So for me, what happened is when I finally said, I don't get all this religious stuff, I don't understand, I had to stop and say, okay, God, if I am 2 weeks old, 2 months old spiritually, so be it. This has got to start making sense. So I began to just kind of take one little morsel at a time and see if I could do that. And I've shared some of these through the years personally. I had a guy come see me recently. A young man came and he brought his Bible with him. And he's been raised in a Christian home. He knows a bunch of stuff about the Bible and God. And we sat there about 45 minutes or an hour. We talked and life stuff. And that Bible just sat there. And at the end he said, well, do you have like any verses for me to read? I said, no. And he said, really? I said, dude, you need to do something with the ones you got. You've been buried with verses. You've been hearing this your whole life. Just pick one. Do something with one of them. Now, here's what I'm encouraging you to do. And I don't think you have to do a lot of guesswork. If you have read something in the last 5, 10, 15, however many years, and you locked up on it, and you know as sure as you're sitting there, here's how this works. You say, Holy Spirit, what is it that I've become callous to? What issue is it in my life? Where am I, and what is it that I've read or heard, and I know that's what I'm supposed to be working on, and I refuse to apply that and do that? Raise your hand if you know what that is. Raise your hand. Let me see some hands. You already know what that is. Okay, that's very encouraging. Everybody should have something, because no one's arrived, right? Anybody arrived? Because I'd get you up here immediately. So we're in process. But see, if you are reading the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit says, Richard, do something about that. And I say, oh, that's a very interesting passage. You know, maybe we'll come back to that. And I keep going. From then on, it's just wah, 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 wah. Because I locked up on what he said to do. I'm stuck in the mud. For some people, it's like baptism. The first thing the scripture says after you become a Christian is get baptized. And some people just say, I'm not doing that. I was baptized as an infant or whatever your deal is. I refuse to do that. And yet you're trying to grow on as a Christian. It's not going to happen. You're going to learn more information, but you have to apply the simple stuff that he gives you along the way. And that's growing. Right? And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying don't listen to tapes and CDs and Christian radio and read stuff and all this stuff, but be careful. You will become hard, hard-hearted, hard-eared of hearing if you're not careful, because you're not doing anything with it, maybe. Go to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells a parable here, and I think I'll take a minute and read some of this. Matthew 13, 1. And this is how it goes. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. He'd tell these stories, and that's how he got his point across. He said, behold, a sower went out to sow. The guy's got seed. He's out there throwing seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, but they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, everybody's got ears. Not everybody can hear necessarily. But he says, you know, if you got ears, hear. So it seems like everybody'd be able to understand this. And the disciples came and said to him, dude, why do you keep talking to these parables? That's my translation, of course. Why do you speak to them in parables? Okay, why don't you just spit it out? Why all these stories, parables? And this is what Jesus says. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. And this is why he did it. Because seeing, they don't see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah, and if you go back and read Isaiah chapter 6, the first part of that chapter, and then it gets into this, and he is quoting. Now, Jesus is quoting Isaiah, which is really quoting himself because he said it through Isaiah. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. And if you've got the New International Version, another translation, it literally says calloused in there. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now let me ask you something. Have you got hearing ears? Have you got seeing eyes? Do you get it? Now, here's the deal about the scripture. If you think for one second that you can go home and grab you a Bible and say, well, I don't need God, I'm going to make sense of this, you will never make sense of this book apart from the Holy Spirit. You need to go to this book with some reverence, with some awe, and you open it up and you say, okay, God, I get it. I'm pretty sure this is your word. So this is a big deal. So I am asking you, these words my whole life have been confusing. I've tried to read this. I've tried to excavate the Bible and I can't make it work. So I am praying before I sit down and I am asking you to open my eyes and help me see. Open my ears, help me be able to hear and give me understanding. I think it's Ephesians talks about praying for people that he'll give you a spirit of wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You need to pray for your children, for yourself, anybody else you know, that their eyes will be open, their ears will be unstopped, they'll be able to get it. Now, if you're one of these people that says, well, you know, my Sunday school teacher said I'm supposed to read a chapter a day, so I'm going to read a chapter a day and get that out of the way, it ain't going to work. You may learn some facts about God and things about the Bible, but if you want a relationship with God, you're going to have to go to it with a different attitude. Does that make sense? You need to pray before you read the scriptures. and ask God to feed you, to show you. Now you say, well, I thought you said it was about discipleship and getting help. The power of this book is that anybody can sit down and pray and God begin to reveal stuff to them. It is easier to have someone else come alongside you and teach you, but if you don't have that, the Holy Spirit will get you there eventually. That's how powerful it is. But get some help. For Christ's sake, for your sake, everybody's sake, get some help. But be careful not just to keep pounding it into your head instead of letting it absorb into your heart, and ask God to open your eyes as is described here. And clearly something else is going on with these disciples, because he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see. Now this is interesting. There had been people before who had a desire. The book says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? It says, for they shall be filled. And part of what happens to people who are hard of hearing is they don't care anymore. They don't care for the things of God. They don't want to hear anything of God. They're not hungry like they used to be. There's no passion. There's no, God, speak to me. You've got to help me. Just kind of cooled off, and yeah, I can't feel it anymore. I wonder why, where it went. Oh, well, let's go to church, give some money, and we're out. You ever feel that way? I felt that way. Like, whatever. So I'm going to heaven. It's just not there right now. No big deal. Where does that sensitivity go? Or has it ever been there? So the disciples were getting it, and he said to them, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and they did not see it. They only saw it by faith, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, okay, here's the first category, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. I'm out. It's too much. It's too hard. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, listen to this. This is just a verse for the United States of America, if you ask me. And you're already three in here. The seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and then just like that, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I know thousands of people like this. See it every day. And for a moment there's, oh, wow, that was really interesting. And then just like that, oh, what's that? I tell people every once in a while, you know what ADD stands for? Attention deficit. Dude, who's that? There's such a thing as spiritual ADD. You can't focus. And you're in it and you're on it, and then all of a sudden something comes along and boom, you're pulled away and it's over. But look at the last one. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. So you say, well, I don't understand it. I want to be part of that last group. Then ask God to help you understand it. It is a very strange thing that people try to live the Christian life without Christ. You say, okay, I get it. I believe. Jesus, I'm sure you have other things to do and other people to go reach. So I got it now. I'll go live. I'll go try to act like you act. It's not about that. It's about letting him live in you and through you and explain it to you as you go. Go to Acts 28. Go back to Acts 28. Can't leave it there. Acts 28, jump in here at verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. There is no New Testament. They were writing the New Testament at this time. So he took the law of Moses and the prophets and solemnly explained, testified of God, the kingdom of God, and concerning Jesus from the law and the prophets. And he did it from morning till evening. And then look at verse 24. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. Okay, so they disagree. Paul says something, and this is what he says. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah. Now, Jesus has quoted Isaiah. Now, Paul's quoting Isaiah to these Jewish people who don't get it. And he's telling them, he's explaining them, and they just don't get it. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Again, the word calloused here in the NIV. Their ears are hard of hearing. Now, is this something that just happened overnight? I don't think so. It's just the on and on and on, the religious aspect of it. And these people had been religious. Some of them heard it and went, wow, I understand, I believe. And the other ones went, nah, not so much. We don't get it. And especially when you accuse us of being people who hear but don't hear. We're not interested in that. Now go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and jump in verse 8. And I don't have time to read this whole chapter, but jump in here. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And look at these verses. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You think you don't know God loves you? You think you don't feel anything? You climb in a little closet somewhere and get you a little song and sing it to Jesus. All these little songs we teach our kids to sing? As an adult, climb in a little quiet place and sing this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to feel something. You say, oh, it's just because it's a cute song. It's more than that. You are saying out loud. You are proclaiming truth. And you know what it does? It'll save you. You get in a situation, the devil says, dude, you never resist this temptation. Not going to happen. Because you're a loser. Because you're weak. You got no character. You got no strength. You got nothing. You're mine. And you go, well, yeah, I guess that's right. You confess that he's right, or you say, you know what? Get your hell out of here. I am a child of the living God, a servant of the living God. I am not under this anymore. I am not a prisoner to this sin anymore. You start saying something out loud, you hear yourself talking, you might actually believe something. What are you saying about yourself? Until you start saying about you what God says about you, you're in trouble. And until you start saying about God what is true about God, you're in trouble. Now that's where scripture gets really powerful. You say, well, I don't know what to pray, I don't know what to say. Then get your Bible, open it up, and read it out loud to God. And say, God, you wrote this, this is what you said about me, so I'm gonna say it back to you, you better back this up.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I wanna share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Read it again here. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, so he says, you call on his name, you'll be saved. Now look what he says next. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or someone to proclaim it? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why is scripture so important? Why is it so important to find out what God says? Because faith comes by hearing, and what you need to hear is the word of God. But you have to do something with it. You have to believe that it's actually true and will transform your life, or it's just more information. And then you become hard of hearing, hardened to what you're hearing, and it doesn't have any impact.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.